It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day. I'm glad you've joined us. We're in Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to study that chapter today. We'll begin reading with Joshua chapter 14, verse 1. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we begin reading now Joshua chapter 14, verse 1. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for the inheritance of them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for 9 tribes and a half tribe. Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites as the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, for their cattle, and for their substance. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. And then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest one thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren with that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou wast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to go in, to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua gave him, blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Precious reading of the Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can just come together and enjoy this time. And Father, we thank you for the study. We just praise you that we have an opportunity to bring your word and use the radio and allow to come and proclaim your precious word. I just ask, Father, that all that are listening today, number one, know you as their Savior, have come by faith to you, and number two, dear Father, that they will not only come to you, but then when they do, they will serve you and praise you and honor your precious name. Now, see today, Father, that you will lead us. We look for your way and for your direction. And so, Please guide us today as we study your precious word. Bring those that are lost to salvation and those that are saved into service, dear Lord, that their hearts be burdened and they come. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come through some of these chapters, they may seem to kind of be on the slow side, or you may even call them a little bit boring, but when you take time to go through each one, there is a reason why God has had these recorded for us. It is all by the man as he has written it. It is powered by the Holy Spirit. And so there's nothing that's written here that God didn't intend for us to have and to know and to study. And that's this section right here in chapter 14, as all the rest are just for that purpose. Now, we find to begin with that it makes mention here that the countries of the children of Israel inherit the land of Canaan, which Eliezer the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance for them. They have come in. They have not made all the victories of the land. We'll find that getting into to other chapters, we're going to see that there's still work to be done. But right here, we find that there is the divisions are underway for the land that they have had the victory on, and we have looked at those victories in past chapters or in earlier chapters, and so now we're about to move into something a little bit different here. It said on the west side of the Jordan, there are nine tribes and a half. And he shall give then on the east side, he has 2.5 tribes on the east side of the river. But unto the Levites, he gave none inheritance. And so now as we, again, as we think about the land that they were supposed to take, it was the border was supposed to be the Jordan River, and they were supposed to go across that river and take that land and then divide the 12 tribes among it. But we find that the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh were two that decided to go, half of Manasseh and half of Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben decide to stay on the east side. And then we have Manasseh and Ephraim and Asher, Naphtali, Zebulun, Dan, Simeon, Benjamin, and I may have missed one. Issachar, I think I've forgotten Naphtali. And so there are 9.5 that went over the river that should have. But 2.5 tribes, see, they had camped long enough that these 2.5 tribes, half of Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben, decide they were just going to stay on this side. Have you ever thought, have you ever wondered that because they were required to go to war on the west side and take all that land all the way down to almost Egypt and way up north to Sidon and Tyre and those, if you would look, the northern boundaries of these tribes right now would be Damascus. And so you can kind of get it in your mind just a little bit. And hopefully you have looked at a map because it sure helps. It helps me, and I'm sure that it'll help you if you would get a Bible map out. If you don't have one, look in the back of your Bibles. Most people in their Bibles have some maps. If not, why go buy one, because you need to be able to see that. I have one right, and I have two of them right in front of me, matter of fact. And I have not only the divisions of the 12 tribes, but I also have in front of me a current map of what those areas are today. And so, as we've talked about in the past, why we have on the east side of the Jordan River, why you have Jordan, the country of Jordan, and Syria. That's most of that area. It would maybe bring in just a tad of Lebanon up north. And then to come down, why you have Lebanon and you have the Gaza Strip is involved in there. And we can see many areas here. We have the Tel Aviv is some of the cities that you would know. The West Bank. You have the Nation of Israel. All this, why we can enjoy looking at, and it's important that we have maps in front of us that we can see these things. And so please do so that you can not miss an opportunity to kind of understand what we're talking about. Well, we have on the west side, 9.5 tribes. On the east side, we have 2.5 tribes. And have you ever wondered, again, getting back to my original question, have you ever wondered when those 2.5 tribes went into the land that God promised, do you ever wonder if they wanted to go back on what they had said they were satisfied with and take part in what was on the west side? Because God wanted to give them, and that was a special blessing, and it was a lot of wonderful land that He wanted to give these tribes, and yet they had already settled, and it was a done deal. They had already settled on the east side of the river, and I've always wondered, and I bet that they were sorry for their choice. It was good enough for the time, but when they went in and did battle for the rest of them, they really saw how they had taken something not as good as what it was supposed to be. And so I understand that it was to be eventually given all the way over to the Euphrates. But right now, God intended just to give them from the Jordan River over to the Mediterranean Sea. And so that section there. Well, we have 12 tribes. And if you'll notice the listing of those 12 tribes, that's fine, but we do not have the tribe of Levi. Now, let me just list them here. The division of the land, we have Reuben, Simeon, Zebulun, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin. Now, in reading those, we seem to have a little bit of a problem because we're missing a tribe, and that tribe is Levi. The Levites were God's communication. Aaron was of the tribe of Levi, and they were the ones that were to work and take care of the tabernacle and to be in key areas throughout the land to feed and nourish the people spiritually. And yet we find that they're not even given any land. Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason that we still have 12 is because, as it said down here, right in this fourth verse, for the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. God gave Joseph a double blessing. His two sons got as much as the rest of the sons, so Joseph actually got a double blessing. Now, if you look on the sons, list of the sons here, you'll find Joseph is not listed, but Ephraim and Manasseh, they are. And that's where we find that the 12 came from. And now let's look, because we find it even lists here, in verse 2, and I'll begin there. We read verse 1, verse 2 now. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. We know that Joshua carried out what was set there for the 9.5 tribes, and for 9 tribes, and for 1/2 a tribe. And then Moses gave the inheritance of the 2 tribes and 1/2 tribe on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. It would have been wrong if the Levites would have taken some land, because God was going to care for them and cared for them very, very well. And so we find that when they're the proclaimers of God's Word, the teachers of God's Word, they need to be taken care of. And God saw fit to do that. He did not give them land to work. He would give them portions from all the rest of the land, all the people, as they would bring their offerings in. And they really had need of nothing because God took such care of them. And for them to have desired to have something, to have a possession, would have been wrong. They would have missed the blessing of God. And so we find that they followed, they were in the right, and so they got no inheritance, but God took very good care of them. Now, we come on now to, and we again have read verse 4, and the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in land, save the cities to dwell in and their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. You see, God took care of them. He didn't give them any titled land, but they were to live in these cities, and they were special places that God had appointed them so that they would be in general location so they could feed the people, nourish the people. And they did have, you know, not land, but they would be given outskirts of the land, not as a possession, but allowed to use it for their cattle and for their substance, as the scripture says here. The Lord took care of all of it. And the next that comes to pass here, and it remains the rest of the chapter here as we look at it, is really interesting because we haven't heard much from Caleb. We know if you go back, you'll find that Joshua and Caleb were the only two. I hope that you remember this. I hope that you were with me when we studied this, because God sent in 12 spies into the land. And as they come out, Joshua and Caleb, he sent a man from each tribe. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two that came back and said, "Let's take it." The rest of them came back and they said, "The walls, the cities are walled and well-fenced, and there are giants in the land, and we just can't take it. I don't think we can take it." And so the majority ruled. And it speaks of that here in this section of Scripture, and it does for a reason. Because what happens, Caleb, again, we haven't heard much out of him, but he has stayed faithful unto the Lord. And now that the fighting is over, the basically anyway, there is some more to come, but basically the fighting is over. And Caleb, it says even before that, it says that the children of Judah came unto Joseph, to Joshua in Gilgal. That's where the headquarters was. And Caleb was with them. And Caleb had a request. Now again, he came with other representatives. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal and Caleb. Now let's see what he wants. It says here, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea." Now remember back, because the whole nation of Israel came up to Kadesh Barnea and stopped. And again, if you look on your map, you'll find that to be on the west side, about middle way, I suppose, if you would come straight down through the center land of Canaan, and you'd come down, you'll run into a place called Kadesh Barnea, and it's just kind of above the wilderness in the Sinai Peninsula. And so we find Kadesh Barnea, and they camped there, and they sent from there these 12 spies in. Well, in sending them in, Caleb and Joshua, and you wonder, was there a reason why that Caleb and Joshua were such men of God, such powerful people? Because we find, and it's named here at the end of the 15th chapter, 15th verse of chapter 14, the place, the location, Kirjath Arba. And if you'll look back in Genesis chapter 23, verse 2, you'll find that that's the place where Sarah died. You'll also find that that's the place where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived most of their lives. And also, if you'll look to the cave of Machpelah, is where they're buried. And so it's all right there. Did Caleb, did he desire, and Joshua with him, did they desire to search that land out? And we find that that's where the giants are, and that's where the real big fenced cities are at. So we know that that is one area, and if you look back in when the spies went in, it gives a definition of where they went. And so did Caleb purposely go to this mount? Because this was a special place. This is where his fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that's where they lived. That's where they were. And did he want to see that? And did he hang on to the promises? Did Caleb's dad or his granddad, did they teach him? Did they tell him all the promises that God made? And did that, is that what excited Caleb's heart? Because we find here in this chapter that Caleb really has a heart for God. And when they went up and then came back, it seems as though that the conversation between Joshua, Caleb, and Moses was that I was at the mount. And when Caleb and Joshua were allowed to live, the only two, and if you think about it here, why the closest in age to Joshua would be 20 years younger. It would be 20 years younger. Joshua, Caleb right now here is 85 years old. He's 85. And so we find that as we look through these verses of Scripture, we find some very familiar areas. Now, let's look now, take our time, and we're going to look at this this section here. And it says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein the feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, Caleb was a part of a tribe, and so that tribe got a certain portion. But Caleb was asking, was reminding Joshua what was said between them three, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb, and the Lord. And that was given to Caleb, and Caleb is coming to collect. You can call it pride. No, it's a land that was given to him, and he has waited now, as it says here, for 45 years. Now, let's continue. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Verse 10, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. If you'll remember, the only people that were allowed to stay alive were those that were under the age of 20. Everyone over the age of 20 was to die. Joshua and Caleb, we don't know about Joshua, but Caleb here is where it speaks of it. Caleb was 40 years old when he went in to spy out that land. And him and Joshua are the only two. They're the two elders. Nobody else is within 20 years of their age because everyone else died. So all of those people that he walked beside, all of his family members, everybody that he knew that was of that age died. Every one of them. So there's 20 years lapse there. There's a 20-year period there where there is nobody because of the disbelief, the unbelief. But Caleb believed the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, and he held to that. And so as we look now, and he says, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So 45 more years. So there was 40 years and 38 and a half years in the wilderness. And then there's been 7 years since then, even since the Lord spake this word. And so I am this day 85 years old, which is 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. He has fought for 7 years. He has warred. He went into the wilderness for 38 years. And so for 38 years, and then was battle after battle after battle, and yet the Lord has kept him, and he is as strong today, as healthy today, as he has ever been. And the Lord has sustained him. Now, Joshua is old, and he is starting to he's aged. Moses was as strong. That 38 years of the wilderness journey didn't weather on him at all either, nor did it Caleb, because Caleb was sold out to the Lord. And now Caleb has this question, and we're going to look at this very quickly because we're just about out of time. But I want you to see, because in verse 11, he speaks of how strong he is. But now, here's where he puts his faith in power and strength, not in his own strength. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how that Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now, you see that? Do you see that? It's not that Caleb says, I am as strong as ever. I can go take those people. I know I can. He didn't say that at all. He says, now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest that day how the Anakims, and he talks about how big the cities were. And if you remember back when we studied that, why, that's exactly what. And then I shall be able to drive, if so be the Lord will be with me. In the middle of verse 12, don't miss that. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. That's the only time, the only way. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. The land had rest from war. And so now that we have looked at this, and you see that Caleb, even though he had to suffer the 38 and a half years in the wilderness, he had to watch all those people die. And yet he stayed true to God's word. God's word was there. He trusted in the Lord. He followed after the Lord. And this city of Hebron becomes one of the refuge cities. He gave this city of Hebron and a little bit of the surrounding area unto the priests. He was glad to do that. The Lord had blessed it to him, and he had given it on to the priests, as they called it. It was a royal city. It's what a wonderful, there's times that David had spent in Hebron. And so it has a great history to it, this land and this mountain that Caleb asked for. And he went unto the Lord, and the Lord promised it to him and way back when he's feet stepped upon that mountain, right then Caleb says, you know, Lord, if you allow it, give me this mountain. And the Lord did. And so he waited all these years, and wonderfully the Lord, of course, kept his word and gave it unto Caleb. And so I hope that you've enjoyed that study in Joshua chapter 14. Read that chapter again and enjoy it, because it is a wonderful blessing. And we'll continue with the 15th chapter. And it's not going to be long here that we'll be finished with the book of Joshua. And then we'll go on to another book as we do. We just continue to study the Word of God. And so please, as you look to the Word of God, enjoy it. Realize that Caleb's faith in the Lord is what brought him this strength. He went against these great enemies, and that land was given unto him. And so he wasn't concerned about it, because he knew the Lord was on his side. Oh, that's a problem today. because I'm afraid this land that we live in is beginning to set God aside, thinking we are all-knowing and all-powerful. My friend, we're not. We must have the Lord on our side. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?